Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in company's profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey and Chad here, your host for this weekend's edition, also your host throughout the week on our website, kereport.com, and podcast, The KE Report. We covered a lot of the market moves, a lot of the data from this week, and a number of company updates. So please go back through those daily editorials and keep in touch with Chad and I. Let us know what you think of these markets, of our guests, as well as the companies that we chatted with this week. We are kicking off this show with Richard Postma. We're going to be focusing more big picture, as well as diving into some of the longer term charts. And then in the second half of this weekend's edition, we're going to be shifting our focus more to the energy sector. Now, as I mentioned, we're chatting with Richard Postma, aka Doc. And Doc, before we get into some of the charts, I just want to quickly recap the data we saw this week in terms of the job market. We saw larger jobless claims that continues to tick higher. That does show a generally weakening job market. And inflation, the PPI, really came down. It came down to kind of where the market expected, especially when you consider the revisions to the prior month. But overall, look, the job market is weakening and inflation is also coming down. So a bit of a mixed bag there for the Fed. Doc, what do you take away from this economic environment that we're in right now?
I take away that Powell couldn't be happier, frankly. And especially with the initial claims unexpectedly soaring to the highest since they've seen October of 2021. And then the PPI report, he's got to be really happy with both of these, because I think coming next month, he can pause and now watch and see what happens over the next 3-4 months to see if there is a continuation of the claims going higher, which they will, in my view, the jobless claims, and with some moderation yet in the inflation picture. So the man has to be really happy with what he just saw recently.
Well, Doc, when you think about the Fed finally getting to this point where they're going to pause, which people have been looking forward to for almost a year ever since they started, what do you think the markets are pricing in at this point? Because their markets are very forward-looking. They've been anticipating this Powell pause coming for some time. But when it actually gets here, a lot of people expect there to be, you know, a boon for all markets and really all sectors. It doesn't look like that's the way things are setting up right now, with market breadth being so not so great across the markets, and even the commodities taking it on the chin recently. Well, so what is your outlook when they pause, and let's just say they leave it paused for a couple months or towards the end of the year? How do markets react to that environment?
A lot of people actually think that it's going to be good for the stock market and for other asset classes, but I don't agree. I think Powell has no problem with, by pausing, if the claims continue to accelerate, he's going to let them accelerate, because this stock market is in, you know, super shape. If you want to look at the heavy hitters, the rest of the underlying market is not so good. But I think that he doesn't care if the stock market takes more hits. I don't think there's a put like the Greenspan put on that. So I think he's hoping that we continue to see more layoffs, and with that, slowing demand, and hopefully it'll impact his inflation numbers. I think going forward, there's good odds that the stock market is not going to take off and seek new highs. I don't see that at all, Chad.
So, Doc, do you consider this market or investors in the market more defensive right now? It's something we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks, is how these big tech names that are holding up the market are almost being looked at as a defensive play, much like gold hanging up there. That, look, investors, while they are staying invested, they don't have a risk-on attitude. It's more risk-off, which seems weird saying that about big tech stocks, but look, they're the big boys out there, and they have cash. So is this more of a defensive market?
I think so right now. I think people are still very nervous about this market. They, I think, are, if they can get interest-bearing assets that are matching inflation through preferred bonds in other areas, or actually getting them a return that's now higher than inflation with the potential that inflation is going to move lower, I think they're, most investors are going to be very happy with that and will stay quite conservative until they see what the shakeout is going to be in the future. I know that's what I'm doing. I'm getting some good returns on what I've invested in, and I'm just going to be very picky on what stocks I'm buying. On the conventional market, I'm looking at stocks that have PEs around 10 that I've been purchasing that are good companies, and one of them is a growth company. And every dip, like I mentioned last month, I'm buying silver and gold companies, and I'm going to continue to do that. But I'll keep my interest-bearing accounts where I'm getting a return that's better than inflation, and I'll slowly move some of that into the conventional market and into the precious metal market.
Well, Doc, just to that point, there's a lot of people that I talk to in my personal life, just anecdotally, that are in money markets that pay them 4.5%, 5%, or they're in T-bills, or they're in interest-bearing accounts, and we haven't seen that for almost a dozen years. For a long time, you got paid nothing, and you're also seeing things like the T-bills and the money markets, which are mostly in T-bills, paying a lot more than what banks do. So there's a lot of money leaving banks, you know, just sitting there collecting nothing and going into these instruments. But there's also some money coming out of the stock market and going into these yield-bearing instruments. So have people kind of taken a fundamental approach to just reduce their exposure to the markets in general and just seek the safety of yield?
Absolutely, and that's exactly what I'm doing. And so I can empathize with those people. And what really bothers me is that when you look at the Case-Shiller Index, that's still up around 29 to 30 as far as the PEs. And if you look at the Case-Shiller chart, it's slowly making its way down. And I think that's going to continue over the next few weeks and months, that we're going to see a move back to the mean. And I think that's coming. And so the best place to be in this situation is in yield-bearing. And we've seen a reversal in the bond market for the first time in years. And I think people are taking advantage of that because they do not want to go risk on. They're scared. And if they can get a return that matches inflation or even above it, they're going to accept that until they become much more comfortable that we're beyond the chaos that we're seeing, especially with these banks, some of the small ones and the regional banks.
So, Doc, what trend do you see happening here? Do you see more money moving out of the stock market into money market funds? Or, to your point, when the right environment is here, do you see that money that's in the money market funds going back into the broad averages, maybe after this banking crisis is behind us, and that causing a big bump to the underlying broad averages?
We're moving into an environment I think we haven't seen in years, and that's where the prudent people and the savers are finally going to make some money on their investment in safe assets. And they're not going to jump right back into this conventional market. And they're going to demand that if they do, it's going to be in value-added stocks where they have PE ratios that make some sense. And I think a lot of these other companies where the PE ratios are in the stratosphere, I think they're going to be the ones that are going to continue to get hit and continue to move lower over time. So I don't see this conventional market taking out the previous highs anytime soon in the future.
All right, Doc, we're out of time for this segment, but we're having you back on next segment. So everyone, stick around.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. And we are continuing to chat with Richard Bosma, better known as Doc, Doc, we talked big picture in the first segment. Let's get into the charts. Gold, man, oh, man, gold's just hanging around 2,000, moving sideways like the broad averages. It's been pretty boring, but boring in 2,000 is, I think, pretty good for the sector. What's your outlook for gold? Give us a look at the charts, please.
Well, that's fascinating because I think we might get a little pressure on gold over the next few days to weeks, but that's not necessarily a negative. What I like about the long-term charts on gold right now, we had, and I mentioned that last month, we had the 12-month moving average breakout over the 26-month moving average. And if we continue to be in that area, it's going to be a positive. The only negative for gold is if we break down and it reverses that 12-month, starts to move sideways to down, then we've got an issue with gold. But right now it's in a pretty good situation, and if we stay where we are right now, we're going to actually close above the previous high back in 2020. And that's a positive. And we could, if we move up in June, we could move up for another 4 or 5 months before we get into trouble with gold. So June's going to be a very important month here for gold to see if we continue. Because if we continue in June, the odds are pretty good that we continue for a few months after that. So that's what I'm seeing in the gold market right now.
So, Doc, this ties in with something we've been talking about, as many people have been saying gold was overbought and it needed a correction. But this sideways move, it's been commented that this is just a correction in time rather than price, which is actually even healthier in terms of a bull market setup. What do you say to that comment that gold is correcting in time, not so much price right now?
I think that's a very appropriate thing to say right now. And I think that if, like I said, if we can maintain at this level and slowly move up against that upper Bollinger band on the monthly chart, that's not unusual in a bull market, because you can go back to 2009 and see the same thing happening. Sure, there were pullbacks, but it just kept moving higher, you know, every month over time. And we could be at the start of that, but that's why I'm saying that June is going to be so important for this market for the 12-month to continue above the 26, because then that chart's looking pretty good in my view.
Well, Doc, let's also shift over to gold's scrappy little brother, silver, which has, on the day we're recording this, has sold off pretty hard. It was hovering over $26, but now silver is down in the mid-24s. It's had a big sell, but that's in sympathy with copper selling off, platinum, zinc, nickel, really all the metals selling off. Is that the industrial component of silver dragging it down with the rest of the base metals?
Chad, absolutely. And I said a while back that if I had my druthers of where I would be, it would be in gold. And I said versus silver, because when you're looking at the potential that we may have a hard landing with the figures that just came out, especially with the initial jobless claims, that tells you that commodities and silver could be under pressure here going forward. It wouldn't surprise me a bit if they are. They do not look, silver does not look as strong as gold in this situation. And I would put my money on gold versus silver based on that industrial component.
Moving over to the gold stocks then, Doc, let's look at something like GDX, the gold miners ETF. It's, again, kind of flat for this month. It's down today on Thursday. But overall, what I'm seeing, at least on the monthly, even weekly charts, is GDX is nicely above some of these moving averages. The moving averages are trending higher. Even on the weekly chart, GDX was hugging that upper Bollinger band. But again, we are seeing a bit of a maybe correction in terms of time. What's your outlook for GDX? Is it bullish, neutral, or do you think there could be a bigger pullback coming?
I think we could still move a little bit up in the next few weeks, but I don't see GDX going crazy here. I said last month that we should see a stair step in a lot of these stocks, and I'll hold to that. And I said, but buy on weakness. And make sure this year is the year you're starting to really buy on weakness on a lot of these stocks. And because it may take time yet, but I think we've seen the bottom in a lot of these gold and silver stocks. So it's accumulation time now. And I don't think GDX is going to take off here. Unfortunately, but I think it's going to be a stair step for a lot of these stocks, and it's just going to take us time. But we will get to the point where some catalyst down the road, and I don't know what that's going to be, that these stocks really get a bid, but I don't see it happening anytime soon.
Well, Doc, I know you look at a lot of these stocks through the lens of technical analysis as well as fundamentals. But when you think about the move that a lot of these stocks have had that are in the GDX or GDXJ, a lot of the mid-tier producers, the royalty companies, some of the stocks that you follow, they've had a pretty big run since September of last year. I mean, that's 7 or 8 months ago. But a lot of investors maybe didn't capture all that move or looking at a spot to get in and buy those dips. Are there chart indicators that you'll be looking for? And I know every stock's individual, but are there, in a general sense, are there chart indicators you're looking for of where you'd be buying? Is there a moving average you're looking at? Is there something you would see as far as the ADX lines or the slow stochastics? Is there anything in particular that you use when you want to start buying stocks on the dips?
Well, what I use, and I've said this before, is the monthly Bollinger Bands, and a lot of these stocks have been moving up and knocking their head up on the upper, and then they move back down to the lower. So that's what I do. Now, I'll buy when some of them get down to the lower Bollinger Band on the monthly chart, and then they move back up, and some of them I'll sell, some of them I still hold. But now I'm going to be accumulating more and more and holding more and more of these, because when they really break out of that monthly Bollinger Bands, I want to make sure I have a significant amount where I'm not left behind, where I've made some profits, but I've sold them again when they hit that upper Bollinger Band. So I keep accumulating when some of these stocks are hitting that lower Bollinger Band. I think that's the best way to play this, and it's really helped me out because it's been up and down for the last number of months. So it's been a positive that way.
Oh, Doc, trading the ranges, that has been the strategy, or the best strategy for a lot of sectors over this last almost 2 month period now. All right, Doc, we'll wrap it up here. As always, thanks for sharing your thoughts on these markets. As boring as they are, hey, look, there are still some opportunities here, and it does give people an opportunity to reshuffle their portfolio. So we'll see where the market moves. We'll also chat with you next month. And Doc, again, thank you for your time on this weekend show. Everyone, stick around. We're going to be right back with a focus on the energy sector.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Cortland Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
USA News Update. A federal judge in Florida temporarily blocking the Biden administration from using emergency parole powers for some migrants at the U.S. southern border. Former President Donald Trump throwing some shade at Florida Governor Ron DeSantis in a new ad.
The problem with Ron DeSantis is that he needs a personality transplant, and those are not yet available. Ron's foreign trip was a total bomb. They didn't even know what he was doing there. What are you doing here, Ron? Why are you here? It was a mess.
DeSantis has yet to officially declare his candidacy. Elon Musk confirming a former NBC Universal executive will be Twitter's next CEO. Musk announcing that Linda Yaccarino will take over business operations for the social media platform. Corey Myers, USA News.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. As promised, second half of the weekend edition of the KE Report. We're focused on the energy sector as we are chatting with Dan Steffens, president of the Energy Prospectus Group. Now, Dan, we're going to start more macro, looking at some of the data around oil and natural gas, and then filter that back down into the companies and a couple stocks that you always like to share with us. Let's start with oil, because when we were chatting last month, we do chat on a monthly basis, oil was breaking out. It was above $80. We might have actually talked right around the high of that move at $83.50. And, well, over the last few weeks, oil has moved back down. It even temporarily broke down below that $70 level, more of the trading range that oil has been in for about 6 months now. And as we're recording this, about half the way through the day on Wednesday, oil's in the low 70s, about $72 a barrel. Dan, what's causing this weakness in the oil price, or should we just really be looking at this market as much like all the other markets that are simply range bound?
Yeah, it's if you look at a 6 month chart of West Texas Intermediate prices, they've traded between a high of 90 at the beginning of that 6 months, got down to below 70, and then the last time we talked was probably just a few days after OPEC Plus announced that they were going to cut production by 1.16 million barrels a day, and Russia also said they're going to cut production by 500,000 barrels a day, and that sent the price of oil, that caused a short covering rally in the futures market, which sent the price up to 83. It took a while for that to calm down. That was probably a little bit too high, but my take right now is the right price for oil is about 80, is where it should be. But what's going on right now is there's so much fear in the market of recession. I mean, this has got to be the most advertised recession in the history of recessions. They talk about it constantly. Then we've got this in the U.S. We've got these conversations about raising or not raising the debt limit. And, oh, my God, we're default on our debt. No way. They're going to do it. So that will pass. But I don't know why they call them budget meetings. They ought to be called crazy spending conferences or something, because it's insane how much money we're spending that we don't have. Anyway, but the fundamentals, I mean, I looked at Wednesday's EIA petroleum report, and they did report a small 3 million barrel increase in our crude oil inventories, but you know, that's nothing compared to the overall inventory. And our inventory is actually 1% below the 5-year average for this time of year. We're at like 462 million barrels in inventory, but our inventory will hold over 600 million barrels. So they're not close to any kind of glut, that's for sure. And then you look at refined products, and they're all way below where they should be. Gasoline inventories, they declined by another 3.2 million barrels, and we're 7% below the 5-year average. Then you look at distillates, which this time of year is primarily diesel fuel, declined by another 4.2 million barrels, and we're at 16% below the 5-year average. So when you look at total petroleum inventories in the U.S. and the OECD, they're all below where they should be for this time of year. And your listeners need to remember, this world, the modern world, runs on diesel. And we really have a global shortage of diesel, which is why, you know, if you pass gas stations, the price of diesel is much higher than the price of gasoline, because there really is an ongoing, very low period, a shortage of it all over the country.
Yeah, Dan, that story isn't even getting enough traction like it should in the media, because it's going to affect the trucking and freight industry. It's going to affect inflation. It's going to affect the price of shipping goods around and mailing packages, and it's the cost that other companies have to get their goods in time. So that diesel story is a big story. But when you talk just in the opening comments there, you made some great points about how there is a dynamic market, the oil market, and there's so many forces pulling at people, the debt ceiling, inflation, what's the CPI report going to be, inventory builds, all of these things are coming into it. But it seemed like the thing that moved the needle the most over the last couple months was the OPEC meeting and just their messaging. And I've heard a lot of people come out and say, hey, OPEC may talk tough with Russia and Saudi Arabia saying they're going to cut, but there's actually a buildup of tankers in the as far as the Russian shipping oil, and they're probably going to produce just as much as ever. What's your take on that as far as the OPEC messaging and, I guess, fact versus fiction?
Well, number one, OPEC Plus, which includes Russia, they're in control of the world's oil price. They can make it go where they want to. I mean, there's nobody else holding back production. And then the last IEA report, that's the International Energy Agency based in Paris, their conclusion was that all petroleum inventories are tight now, and they see a significant supply deficit coming just months ahead. We are headed into the highest demand period of the year. June through September is the highest demand period for transportation fuels. And also think about this. Diesel is used by farmers. I mean, we have to plant food and harvest food, and we're in the planting period now, wheat and corn and all this stuff, and it takes diesel to run all that farm equipment. It takes diesel to run drilling equipment. My wife and I drove from Houston on Highway 10 over to Louisiana and spent about 4 or 5 hours on Highway 10, and I can tell you, it was a steady stream of 18-wheelers going the other way, both ways, really. And I'm telling you, diesel demand isn't coming down anytime soon, because we still have supply chain problems that have to be fixed. I mean, the country runs on diesel, and that's all there is to it. So I see much higher prices by the end of the year. After that OPEC meeting was over, Goldman Sachs raised their Brent forecast $5 to $95 by the fourth quarter. Raymond James put out a report that said it would be WTI would be 95 by the end of the third quarter, and 105 sometime in the fourth quarter. So a lot of the Wall Street gang is seeing this. And the only thing that would cause prices not to go high would be a global recession. If we have a mild recession in the U.S. And I don't know how you have a major recession when you have high employment, when everybody that wants a job has a job. That's not, you know, some kind of depression or something. And people got jobs. They're still going to be buying stuff. They're going to still be taking vacations and things. So demand for these petroleum products is not going down that I can see anytime soon.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you there, Dan, is what would a recession do to the price? But hey, it all depends what kind of recession we have, right? Because everyone's looking forward to the second half of this year saying a recession is coming. What about natural gas, though? Oil, look, it's been range bound, but it is still hanging around that, let's just say, $70 to $80 range. When we look at natural gas, man, that's still holding just above $2, and it's just not moving. It's stuck at this level. When is that going to start moving? And is it going to move down before it moves up?
No, I think we're probably at the bottom. The second quarter is always kind of the low demand period for natural gas. It's called the shoulder season in between the winter the cooling, the air conditioned season in the summer. So we are getting large builds into the storage, but the storage isn't even close to full. I mean, we're like, you know, 2 TCF and storage, and storage will hold like 4.2 TCF. So that's not a problem. The upstream companies that I follow that are focused on gas, they are laying down rigs. They're not going to complete a bunch of wells. These high rate shale wells come on very strong, and you'd be stupid to complete them into a $2 gas price market. And I do want to remind you, you know, where the oil price is now at $70, $75. These companies are very profitable in the oil business at that price. So it's not like they can't make money at $70, but the pure gas companies, when you get, I follow four very large companies, Comstock, which is a Haynesville company I really like long term, but it is a pure gas. 99% of their production is dry gas from East Texas and the Haynesville play in Louisiana. EQT is the largest natural gas future company in North America. Now, they look really good. If you're a long-term investor and you want to add some exposure to natural gas in your portfolio, I recommend EQT.
All right, Dan. Thanks for a couple company names. We're having you back on next segment. We're going to keep chatting about different stocks within the energy sector that you like. So everyone, stick around. We're going to be right back with Dan Steffen.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to DanPilla.com to order your copy. That's DanPilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to DanPilla.com. That's DanPilla.com.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
All right, here we are wrapping up the weekend edition of the KE Report, continuing to chat with Dan Steffens, president of the Energy Prospectus Group. Now, Dan, let's get into some of the oil stocks that you like. Look, we're in an environment here where oil still trending in the 70-plus dollar range. It has been mostly flat, but we hear that companies, many oil companies, can make money at these prices. What stocks do you like best in this current environment of around $70-plus oil?
Well, one that I like is a fairly new name. It's really was created by a merger of a private company into a public company. The name of it is Permian Resources, and the symbol is PR. It's not a small cap. This is a mid-cap company. Their first quarter production was 153,000 barrels per day. That's a pretty decent size. And they have a clear path to 200,000 barrels per day. I think their production is going to be up about 10 or 15% this year, and they've got some of the best acreage in the Delaware Basin, which is the western half of the Permian Basin. A lot of their acreage is in New Mexico and the far western side of the Permian, but it's they're completing some really good wells, and they got a lot of running room. And they actually just completed a small acquisition that adds dozens of high-quality drilling locations. I just finished writing or looking at it hard this morning and updating my valuation, and I think the stock's trading at about $10 or just under $10, and my valuation is like $16.50, and I see upside to that number, really, if they keep hitting all their targets. Another one I really like, and another company that's grown by acquisitions, is Earthstone. I've mentioned it before on your show. Its symbol is ESTE. Their first quarter results beat my forecast. They're at 104,000 barrels a day of production. It also has grown through a series of acquisitions. It doesn't really have the analyst coverage that it should have for a company of that size, and I just think it's I noticed they've agreed they're going to host a luncheon for us in Houston. We have public companies that host luncheons to get in front of our group, and it's going to draw a big crowd in June. I like Callon Petroleum. The stock just continues to trade, and it's a very profitable company, continues to trade at a big discount to my valuation at less than half. And another one like that is Vital Energy, which is based in Tulsa. And I think the fact that it's in Tulsa doesn't get the analysts don't want to make that trip up to Tulsa from Houston, I guess. But it's a new name. It used to be called Laredo Petroleum. and now it's called Vital Energy, VTLE. Then another one that's production is split pretty evenly, or its revenues are split evenly between natural gas and oil, is Silverbow. But I talked to management, and they were going to drill and complete a bunch of gas wells this year, but they moved both of their drilling rigs are now, and they're continuing to have two rigs running all year. They're drilling in their more oily acreage, so they are going to significantly increase their oil production, probably double it from what it was last year over the next 12 months, because they're just going to be drilling and completing oil wells this year.
So, Dan, when you're looking at companies in the growth sense here, do you like more of these acquisitions? I was hearing a lot of these companies have grown through acquisitions. Do you prefer the acquisition front, or do you like that organic project growth?
Well, I like both. And when they make an acquisition, I want them to be buying a lot of undeveloped acreage, a lot of further drilling locations, so they can continue to grow by through the drill bit, not just through acquisitions. I mean, if all you're doing is buying companies that are fully drilled out, and so that, you know, their production is going to go on decline, they have no more development upside, I don't like that. Those companies might be best suited for some of the Canadian dividend payers. You know, they might buy those companies and just, you know, use that cash flow to pay dividends. But I want a combination of growth plus income. That's for sure. And that's what Wall Street wants. Now, some of these growth companies, especially the smaller ones, they don't pay dividends yet. I don't think, no, Earthstone does not pay a dividend yet. I do expect them to announce one pretty soon that should help. Vital doesn't pay a dividend, neither does Silverbow. So they are growth companies. And, right now, but they are free. They're free cash flow. It's not that they don't have the cash flow. All their growth is being funded internally, and they could pay dividends, but they've got so much good acreage to develop, they're more focused on increasing their production and proven reserves.
Well, Dan, rather than looking at it from the angle of how these companies can grow through acquisition, what about the other side of that table where there's companies that look like good takeover candidates, not just some of these smaller growth companies that they could bolt on, but also we've seen some in the private companies being acquired. Maybe just speak to who's on the menu as far as who could be a good takeover candidate.
Oh, yeah. Permian Resources could be a great takeover candidate. Vital, for sure. I guess if somebody was going in. Now, Comstock, that company is controlled by Jerry Jones, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys. He owns controlling interest there. So it won't be taken over unless Jerry wants to sell it. That's for sure. Hell, some of them are just buying themselves. The one thing I noticed, Diamondback Energy, which is one of my all-time favorites and an all-time great American success story. It was paying a pretty high dividend. Well, it cut its dividend because it said it's doubling its stock buyback program to $4 billion. This is a company that only has a market cap of about $15 billion, and it announces a $4 billion stock repurchase plan, and that announcement didn't even move the stock at all. I don't know what this market once, but what that tells you is the board of directors thinks their stock is so grossly undervalued that their best investment is just to buy their own stock.
That's crazy. That is a big buyback. Why aren't they out there buying other companies?
Well, they could be, yeah, but Diamondback has a whole bunch of acreage to develop itself, and they're running a bunch of rigs. They're running like 10 rigs. They're one of the most active drilling companies in the Permian Basin. It's a pure Permian Basin company. I'm telling you, it's an all-time American success story. This company, if you go back 5 or 6 years ago, it didn't even exist. And now it's up to like 250,000 barrels a day of production. It's a really nice company. And we're going to be publishing a detailed profile on it. And it also spun off its mineral interest into another company called Viper Energy, which is a pure minerals company that pays very nice dividends. So if you have listeners that are looking for dividends, look at Viper Energy. Its symbol is VNOM, Venom. They used to have a company called Rattler, and they reversed it back into the company. They spun it off first, and then 2 years later reversed it back into the company.
So, Dan, when you're looking at companies, are there any red flags that draw you away from them? Because we're always talking on the positive, what you like, what you're interested in. What about what you don't like, or what scares you away from certain companies?
Well, you definitely would need to focus on the balance sheet, and you need to look at their debt. Now, all that's not the same. So if you look at a company, their senior debt, if they have some that's coming due next year, that, you know, they're not going to be able to pay it off. I mean, let's say, you know, they got a $100 million senior note or something, notes that have to be paid off next year, and they don't have that kind of deal. If they don't have a good banking relationship to be able to refinance that debt, they're kind of in trouble then. That's the most exposure. So I like to see the debt schedule. I also like to see these companies that have a really big undrawn revolver. So that if something, you know, this is a very capital intensive business. And if, you know, if there's a big drop in the price, they need access to capital to survive. And, you know, you can't just slam on the brakes for your drilling program overnight. So, you know, that's what happened at the beginning of COVID. These guys had long-term drilling contracts they couldn't get out of for a while. And it did push some into bankruptcy. And they're in so much better shape. I spoke at a conference on Sunday, May the 7th up in Dallas. Yeah, well, there was 160 people at this. It was all private companies talking about their drilling programs. And for your listeners, in the United States, it's like 30 or 40% of our wells are drilled by private companies, not all by public companies. So it's these big drilling programs down here. But all of us agreed on this panel that the industry itself is in so much better shape than it should be. And when you look at that energy is only about 5% of the S&P 500, you know, as well as these companies are doing, they should be back where it used to be, where energy was like 15 to 16% of the S&P 500. But it's not even close. It's not these, the multiples they're trading at are just crazy, which is why I think half of the ones I look at are screaming takeover targets.
All right, Dan, we'll wrap it up here. As a special mention, too, if you are interested in signing up for the Energy Prospectus Group, Dan is providing all of you listening a $100 discount by using the discount code CF100. I will post that within this weekend show posting, and that $100 savings is for that $350 subscription per year. So that is a significant savings, and you get to keep up to date with Dan's thoughts on the energy market and all the research he does on a wide range of energy companies, all focused for you, the investor. So Dan, thank you for providing that offer to our listeners. We will chat again next month. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend. Thank you everybody for tuning in. I hope you all have a great rest of your weekend.
All right. Thanks a lot.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Hi, I'm your host, Smokey Colbert, filling in for Smokey, because after 75 years of...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Turns out there's much more to say. Nearly 90% of wildfires are caused by us humans being careless, dumping our used barbecue coals willy-nilly. Guess the song was wrong. We did start the fire. That's why I respect Mother Nature and her trees, whether coniferous or new car scented. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.